Team Time.
Hi, welcome to Team Time. I'm your host, Debbie Waith, and I'm here to share with you a series of podcasts aimed at supporting those leading and in teams. I'm going to share my personal story as a woman who has led many teams in large organisations and in several countries. I've also been coaching leaders and teams for over 10 years, and I'll draw on this experience to support your journey as a leader and all the other hats that you might wear. Welcome back to Team Time. This is the 8th podcast in this series, the pandemic series, and this is going to be the final one this side of the summer holidays. So I take the opportunity for a few weeks rest through the school holidays, if that isn't an oxymoron. And I'll return to podcasting, picking up on life and leadership from around mid-September. I'm grateful for you listening, and I've seen over the last 2 months, my listeners have expanded to 8 countries now. And so whilst this series has predominantly been about the experience in the UK, of course, we all in so many countries have been going through a very similar experience as we try to figure out how to make the best of what is a really exceptional period. So I'm grateful to have so many people listening and from so far away. Please do feel free to spread the word if you think others might be interested in the podcasts. And I hope they've been helpful for you as you make sense of this period. Today, I'm going to focus on transitions. And this is in part, for me, I guess, just a reflection of as we enter into this holiday period in July, I'm reminded of it being a time of year when we tend to look back at the first half of the year, as well as forward to what might come. And, you know, this has been a really strange year. As we're looking back, there is, you know, pause for just an acknowledgement of what this first 6-7 months of 2020 have been like. And I know we hear and I use the word exceptional to describe this period, but it really has been such an unusual period for most of us to go through and sort of deal with this level of uncertainty and change. I think William Bridges, in his many books on transitions, makes an interesting distinction between change and transition. And he describes change as situational. So it's the new job, it's the move to a new city, it's a new baby. And transition is this psychological process or journey in adapting to whatever that situational change is. And for me, that distinction really proves important and helpful as I have been trying to make my own sense of and find my own place in being helpful and hopeful through this period. To keep going back to, you know, this isn't as simple as changing from one situation to another. Part of the complexity of being in a pandemic or something as complex as a pandemic is that, you know, we're not even sure what the change to will be. For some, it will be uncertainty as to whether they will have a role by the end of the year. For others, there's uncertainty around vaccines. There's uncertainty around the bigger economy, and there's uncertainty around schooling. So even trying to make sense of what the situational change might become is unclear. And in amongst that, there is our individual and human need, that psychological need to try to make sense of and process the transitions that we're going through. I've noticed for a number of years at the period of summer school holidays, there's a series of what I describe as kind of your normal small transitions at this time of year, as we all adapt to, you know, a period where we're together for longer. Certainly in our household, there's that sort of testing again of the boundaries as the children come out of school and back home for 6 weeks. And everybody just takes a little while to settle into how we are when we're together. At the moment, there's also a number of still relatively minor but abnormal transitions that we're going through as we meet up with friends and family, and you know, as restrictions have been relaxed in the last few weeks with retail and restaurants and so forth. And you know, we're still trying to find our new norms, if you like, in managing those transitions and trying to understand those transitions. And you know, they're in some ways making us get clearer in our own minds around things like values and risk and trust, because of course each of these small transitions still can have quite important consequences. So we're each trying to figure that out. And what makes this harder is that as each of us are individually or within our home teams figuring this stuff out, of course, every team that we come across has an impact. And so there is an interdependency of decisions and choices that is at play. And that just means it can be harder to feel clear in any form of decision making as we journey through these transitions. And then, of course, there will be transitions that are more at the level of life transitions that may be in relation to your organisation, as your organisation perhaps faces a future that looks very different from the present. It may be involving your job or what you see as your future career. And it may, unfortunately, also involve our families. Our families may not look the same, whether that's in relation to relationships or the loss of loved ones. You know, many people through this period have unfortunately lost loved ones, and you know, allowing and supporting people to deal with the grief of a death in this period will be very important, and supporting people in the way that they feel is needed for them. And so for me, it really just highlighted this need to recognise what it feels like as I am processing this multitude of both small and a few bigger transitions. And just recognising that actually we each process and go through this process differently. What's unusual in this period is that there's so many of us going through it at the same time. And so there's collective emotional context that's happening at kind of more a community and societal level than would normally happen for each of us as we go through these transitions. I heard this week the term corona coaster to describe the experience of the emotional ups and downs. And that really resonated for me this week, as I've had a week or two where, you know, I couldn't quite put my finger on the cause of why I was feeling either, you know, some days elated and other days very low. I noticed that so long as I'm keeping very busy, I don't tend to notice or pay much attention to how I'm feeling. And when that busyness calms down, or when I'm intentionally trying not to be busy, it can feel at times overwhelming, as those emotions kind of, you know, just seem to come out of nowhere and sometimes at quite a pace. And it makes me wonder whether I respond to transitions by getting busy, in some ways knowing that the pattern will be, you know, when I pause, I'm going to find myself in amongst this sort of quagmire of trying to figure out how am I feeling, and not always understanding why I'm feeling what I'm feeling. And it's only when I notice a few of the days when I'm feeling a bit off, when I'm perhaps feeling a bit low and can't quite put my finger on it, that I start to pay attention and question, you know, for me, what's going on at that time? I got introduced to the poem The Guest House by Rumi a few years ago, and I find it really helpful to go to when I'm experiencing emotions that I can't quite locate or make sense of, and yet they have this pervasive ability to kind of distract me for sometimes the whole day. You know, I can't quite lift myself out of that mood. So I wanted to introduce and share with you that poem, The Guest House by Rumi. This being human is a guest house. Every morning, a new arrival. A joy, a depression, a meanness, some momentary awareness comes as an unexpected visitor. Welcome and entertain them all, even if they're a crowd of sorrows who violently sweep your house empty of its furniture. Still, treat each guest honourably. He may be clearing you out for some new delight. The dark thought, the shame, the malice, meet them at the door laughing and invite them in. Be grateful for whoever comes, because each has been sent as a guide from beyond. When I hear that poem, it helps remind me that how I'm feeling is not the same as who I am. How I'm feeling is temporal and will pass. And my role in this is to recognise the temporary nature of those feelings and just to notice. And Rumi's poem helps me even go beyond noticing and inquire and be curious about, so if I am feeling frustration or anger or meanness, be curious about it. Invite it to see what's in there that's worth exploring. And in doing that, I find that whatever that pervasive emotion is, does start to move and shift. Because actually when you shine a light on whatever that feeling may be, it doesn't stay. It allows something else to come in and move beyond. And it reminded me of the book that I'm reading just now. I mentioned to you a couple of weeks ago that I'm reading Eckhart Tolle's The Power of Now. And I will be honest, I'm reading it slowly. I'm finding it taking a lot of concentration and focus to really take in the depth of his words around our unconscious and inextricable connection between the mind and our thinking and who we are. But what helps, as I am feeling at times overcome with emotion, or at times on that roller coaster or corona coaster of emotions, is to focus only in the present as being the only thing that has any value at this point, and trying to acknowledge and appreciate the now rather than worry about what might be to come. I wonder how you're feeling through this period, and if you were to honour how you are rather than how you want to be, and each mood as being there for a reason, and to be looked at more objectively, and just notice, how am I? And accepted as part of our human experience, knowing that it will pass. You know, this period with both forced separation and forced proximity continues to some degree. The period of restrictions are changing, and that's taking a lot of our time and focus as we try to figure out the next right thing to do. And I wonder who has visited your emotional guest house and how you received them. I reflect on myself that I might not always enjoy the visit so much, but I have started to feel more curious about the perhaps less wanted visitors when I'm feeling low or frustrated, as much as when I'm feeling joyful or silly, as serving somehow a reason during this period, whether I can understand and comprehend or not.
And I think, again, that takes me back to Eckhart Tolle's work a little, in that we have this propensity, and I suspect I am particularly afflicted here, to want to try and make sense of and understand as if everything's got a rational reason, rather than accept what is as if it was what we had wanted. And I keep returning to that question myself. If I accepted this period for what it is, as if I had wanted this, then what can I find to appreciate within it, to enjoy within it? And actually, you know, the time with my family and my boys, the time where we've had at home together, the time to kind of explore connecting with people in a different way, there's been many positives that have come from this. And much of the lowness or the frustration or the anxiety is to do with not being able to predict the future. And, you know, I recognize I'm lucky in many ways. There's a number of outcomes that I'm sure, you know, once we know more, we will make the best of. And I recognize, you know, one of the patterns that I have is in transition is trying to grab onto those parts of whatever will be to try and make sense of, you know, boundaries and structure and figure out what's within my control. And in this situation, those parts just keep moving. So for me, it's rather than finding things that help describe or bring clarity to what's coming, just focus on accepting what is now. And so for the next 4, 5, 6 weeks, that is going to be my focus. As I mentioned at the beginning, I'm going to pause doing podcasts. I'm going to pause doing much of what keeps me busy. And I'm going to focus on just myself and recognizing my propensity to do rather than be. And really invest in myself in a way to help rejuvenate for when I look ahead in the year. And we don't yet know what's going to come, you know, from September onwards. What I do know is that we'll need a well of energy to draw on as more transitions come. And so for me, the best thing I can do for myself at this point is to invest in my own well of energy. Emotional energy, psychological energy, physical energy, family energy, by just spending some time being and letting, you know, what is be around me. I hope that you will have an opportunity to take a chunk of time to do something similar. Speaking to some clients, I know many people haven't had a day off for many months. And people that have got holiday plans, sometimes they're actually very short. And my encouragement to you all is to try to make sure that the time that you have, you really allow yourself to detach from what is at the moment and what's keeping you busy at the moment, and allow others to carry the weight for those few weeks that you will have, so that you can come back somewhat rejuvenated, somewhat perhaps having reflected on what the next few months might look like and where you can best spend your time, whether that's as the head of a team or helping navigate your organisation through what will continue to be an exceptional period, or whether it's helping your home team set up for what might be another turbulent few months. And for those of you that lead teams, I'd encourage you to be cognizant of both the explicit and the implicit messaging that you give to your team members as they take a break. You know, everybody's going to need to have this well of energy to draw on. So encouraging them to disconnect for the week or 2 weeks or whatever period of time it is that they can let go and just really focus on themselves and their own families, will actually serve them better and your organization better than if they're to continue paying attention throughout this period. And on that note, I want to pause this series. We've covered over the weeks how we respond to uncertainty and our patterned responses to uncertainty and our relationship with control, particularly at times when there is less clarity. We've talked about what motivates us through this period and the importance of connecting rather than just interacting. And of course, we had an important focus on racial inequality and our role in this complex space of white privilege and racial injustice. I hope this series has been useful for you as you've navigated your own way through this period. My intention through this series has been to share my own journey as we navigate this period, in the hope that it may help you as you try to navigate yours. And in the meantime, I'm going to take the lead and sign off for the next few weeks. I hope you get an opportunity to do the same, and I wish you a happy, helpful and hopeful summer, and I look forward to seeing you back here again in September. Goodbye. If you want to share your thoughts or ask any questions, you can get in touch with me on LinkedIn, Instagram or Twitter under Debbie Waith. I'll post any references I make in the podcast on my website, Future You, under Team Time Resources, and a new podcast will be released every Tuesday. I hope you'll subscribe to join me.
Subscribe to Team Time.